I asked John, you have copies, right?
I have copies.
Okay. The material that he received and he gave you understanding of what we should do when we discern the timing that we're in. It concerns things that are, let's say, in the formulative phase in some of these situations. I haven't had a chance to go through this, but he shared some of it with me. And my press was to give each one of you a copy of this so that you can research it yourself. He put a note across here. It says, however, if the Holy Spirit tells you to put this down and do not read it or throw it away, then obey and receive the blessing of obedience. Because it may not be your purpose to study this. It may be a press inside your heart to do so. It may be a timely thing. It might be down the road. My press was that he would give the information in writing and give you the freedom to research it when you're ready and when it's important to you. I've learned over the years that Jesus was not appreciated sometimes. Did you ever realize that? So let's go to John chapter 7, because that's what he pressed into me last night. John chapter 7, and he reminded me of it again today. You see, Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem, and it's at the Feast of Tabernacles. But I want you to go to verse 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Now, the average Jew of his day was definitely into the legalism of the law. But as far as being aware of the timing that Jesus was really the Messiah, I don't think they had any concept of it. I don't think they had an awareness of it. And the leadership, of course, was looking at him with their ultimate goal, which was, he's making us ashamed of who we are. And so if you look at this and you see, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. He doesn't tell them who sent him. He wants them to question. Okay? If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Now, don't forget, those who have been under Moses knew the law backwards and forwards, and they kept it to a T. But did they have a love for the Father? No. Did they have an awareness that the Father was going to release the Messiah? Well, you're going to watch and see what he does. Verse 18, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. So he's talking about them. He's getting them to see themselves. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. Now, they know about the prophetic. They know about Moses. They know about the other prophets. So they are aware that there were men in that they know of that would speak truth. And they knew that, and they honored Moses. Now it goes on, there is nothing false about him. In other words, they knew that if they really listened to Moses and his laws, that they were safe as long as they would recognize the seasons and do their homework. They were safe every year for another year. 19, has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? So how blunt do you want it? He's telling them about what's in their heart. You are a demon possessed. Wow. You are demon possessed. The crowd answered. It's important that you see it's the crowd. Okay? It's not just one or two. It's not just one leader. Why? Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it is not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on a Sabbath. Now, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Well, there you go, right back to judgment again. You see, there is a right judgment. There is an awareness sometimes that you're going to discern what's going on, and it is godly, but it's a very tricky corner because it depends on how your heart is set. Because if your heart is full of anger, that automatically tells you your judgments are going to be what? Full of resentment and bitterness. So, verse 25. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? Now, that was a little bit of a surprise. Because again, see, there are some that are questioning the timing that they're living in. We've got the same issues right now. So many preachers are out there and they're advertising, we're going to escape. We're going to escape. Don't worry about a thing. And these are leaders that are with national reputations. Okay, but in reality, the other scriptures that speak about the perfect bride, she's not even mentioned. And the perfect bride is going to be doing what the bridegroom did. Otherwise, she'd never be married for material. So, 27. But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Verse 28 is super important. Watch Jesus now. He's responding. Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out. He's answering their question and their criticism. Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own. But he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. It also implies that the job that he's on is not very pleasant. He's been sent to do a work. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? So you've got a divided nation, Israel. You've got some that are recognizing it's possible this guy could be the Messiah. There's another group that says he's a charlatan. He's demon possessed. So what are we living in? What about us right now? How many people are picking sides? trying to find out where and who is going to be the next leader. And how much damage can we sustain and still survive? Okay? Those are all questions in people's minds. And I can tell you, you can walk out this door and go down the street, and you're going to find every response that you can imagine. It's not a different day for them. It's not a different day for us. It's the same idea. Are we aware of the times we're living in? Are we conscious of, is he coming back real quick? Or is there a lot more that he's expecting from the church? And today, I ran across a letter from Wade Taylor that he sent me back in 2012. Going over the notes was a sweet moment, even though I wish he was still here, because, you know, there's a dependency on those who have already lived what they've lived, and their experience can be very helpful for you and me when we need it. But while I was watching last night, my wife and I ended up watching quite a bit of the Gaither program with the worship and the singing and the entertainment. And at one point, Lionel Harris and Sandy Patty sang a great song, "I've Just Seen Jesus." Most of you may know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm sitting in my chair, and now I am literally weeping because the anointing is on, like you, and I've got a vision. And the vision is in Mount Marie. And I shared a little bit of that with Gail this morning. And all of a sudden, I mean, there's no way to stop the tears. They're coming out. So obviously, thank God there's a box of Kleenex and you fix that up. And I'm listening, and yet I'm not in the chair anymore. I'm in a different realm, saying to the Lord, okay, I'm still seeing with my eyes wide open. I'm seeing Jesus in the corner. I'm seeing St. Paul in front of me, as clear as this altar is there. And it's just as close to me as that altar. And I'm still crying. And I said, Lord, you know, that happened many, many years ago, but it's still as bright and as clear and as pure. And the reason for it is because of the gold. And the gold was what I was after, because I was very angry at all these opinions of men and all these teachings from religious people. And I wanted to know if Royal's message was from God, and I wanted a solid gold confirmation. Well, he gave me solid gold. And that's what kept me crying. Because again, the foundation that is now here is gold. It's 12 inches thick. It all connected. And now I'm connecting all these dots in my head from the visions, from the words of knowledge, and from the coordinates that he's trying to put in me. And as I shared this morning with Gail, I said, everybody's got a perspective. And the perspective is 70 or 80 years, or 120 if you're real good, okay? And if you're good at keeping your body going. Well, obviously, I could have went home a few months ago. There was very, let's say, potentials of leaving. Was it in my head at the time? No. Can I realize it now? Yes. Do I dwell on it? No. No, I don't. But the reality is, it's caused some changes in the people around me. That has created something different. Okay? So the Lord and I were chit-chatting with Gail this morning, and I said, Gail, who was teaching me? Really, it's a 2,000-year-old man that was teaching me at Mount Marie. It wasn't Royal Conquest. I mean, St. Paul was right there in front of me. His spirit was just as alive as he could have possibly been 2,000 years ago. And I'm enjoying the moment. So was his foundation just for 70 or 80 years, or however old he lived in the natural body? See, we don't conceive the eternal value of who we are in Christ. We take it for granted, 70 or 80 years, and you're going to go home. BS. You're not going home to do nothing. You're not going to go home to sleep on a Sealy, you know, with a wonderful little cushion and, you know, what do they call a blankie? You know, got to have your favorite blankie. Come on. This is not what's going to happen in the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of God was designed to do what? To rule and reign in the earth. Mm-hmm. Where was St. Paul that night? Was he in heaven or was he in front of me? He was in front of me in the earth. Who was he teaching? A whole group of people. But I'm the only one that saw him that I know of. And then, of course, not really focusing on the Lord. So I said, you know, Gail, what you're learning right now, whether your body stays in the earth or not, whether your spirit leaves tomorrow, that's not the part that's important. What's important is you're being educated for the future. Whether you like the idea or not, you are being educated for the future. Paul Keith Davis had an incredible conversation with the Lord about when John Paul Jackson went home. And John Paul went home early in my book, you know, went home early. And I wanted him around because I was selfish, not blaming anybody else. That was the bottom line. He had so much to give. But in reality, selfishness is not the goal. Selfishness is all about me, and it's not about the plan of God. How many people are being dealt or given an opportunity to hear John Paul now in the realm of the spirit, wherever he is sent by God? Notice again, back in the word, I want you to look at verse 28. Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. Who sent St. Paul at Mount Marie that night? Had to be Papa. Had to be. There is no other choice. Who sent Jesus to stand in the corner? It was Papa. It was designed by God to give me something solid gold that I would never back off on. It had to be so strong that I would be able to drop the religious crap. And I call it that because that's what it is. Okay? To drop the religious crap and really focus on seeing that men and women of God that would grow up and mature and become men and women that would represent the Holy Ghost in every way possible. And I mean, that is not the job I wanted. You hear me? I didn't want that job. God gave it to me. He sent me. He pushed me. He shoved me. He coordinated me. And it was not an easy ride. And I'm not complaining. But it was not designed to be easy. Did the path for Jesus make him super Messiah? No, he was hated every step of the way. I still got people who can't stand me because why? I'm not in the same box that they wanted me in. Okay, that's life. And those who don't agree with me and don't find me doing what supposedly God wants me to do from their opinion and from their religious background, that's their problem. I don't dwell on that. But I am trying to make you aware that when you're being trained by God, it is not for 70 or 80 years. It is not even for 120 years. It's an eternal instruction that you're receiving. And that which is being given to you is not lightweight. It is heavyweight. Because what he wants is he wants a church without spot or wrinkle, and he wants them to do what Jesus did. Amen? 35. Well, maybe back it up. 33. Jesus says, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am going, where I am, you cannot come. The Jews says to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow from within him, meaning you and me. That's Holy Spirit in full flow as a river coming forth out of each of us. When that is taking place, watch out. Death will be running in the opposite direction. But it will also be trying to use anybody that's available to try to destroy you. And that's what it is. You may not enjoy the ride. I don't know. Sometimes I don't think Jesus enjoyed his ride. I think he probably enjoyed it most when he came out of that grave. That was the day, because then he knew he had liberated us. And I believe that when the church is fully alive in Christ, which, by the way, he did show me again, that a lot of what's coming down the highway is so huge that even what we're now perceiving as the glory cloud that's coming, okay? And there's a lot of advertisement about the glory cloud. I don't think you and I could possibly imagine what that's going to be like. I don't think so. All I can tell you is Rick Joyner was on just the other day, and I watched him, and he was sharing a little bit about now he's kind of pulling out of his big job and going into a semi-retirement, if you wish. And he's got the young man that Paul Keith, Chris Reed, is going to now be directing what's going on at Heritage USA. So, you know, I can remember when the Holy Spirit impacted this man of God to the point that he was with the Lord. I don't remember the details of how long it was, how many days it was, or hours, or whatever. All I know is when he had that experience, he was filled with light. And he was literally changed by God on the inside. And Rick said he had been home for 24, 36, whatever hours it was. And his wife said, well, would you go to Walmart and pick up some goodies? And so he walked into Walmart, and people are falling on the floor as he's walking the aisle of Walmart. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the anointing to be on you to that degree that you walk into Walmart and they fall to the left and fall to the right? And what kind of commotion do you think you're going to create? what kind of commotion are you going to create in your family? See, what I believe is a double-edged sword is, yes, there will be signs and wonders. Hospitals will be delivered. People will be set free. But the critics are going to complain. You think the media's in irritation now? It's going to be much worse. Why? Because they won't understand the times that we're living in. Do we understand the time we're living at the moment? I don't think so. I don't really think we realize to the degree that we're being prepared to do a work that is going to be very, very different than our minds could conceive. Mm-hmm. So would you do me a favor? Put your right hand over your heart. I can't resist on that one. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm relying on you.
Spirit, I'm relying on you.
And your word.
And your word.
When we lay hands.
When we lay hands.
We depend on you to do the healing.
We depend on you to do the healing.
Whatever adjustments are needed in me.
Whatever adjustments are needed
in me. To prepare me. For eternity. Not these years on the earth.
Not these years on the earth.
But the eternal membership.
The eternal membership.
Yes, it's an eternal membership that I have.
There's an eternal membership I have.
Because I'm a new creation.
Because I'm a new creation.
The old doesn't want to go away.
The old doesn't want
to
go away.
It's trying to hold on in every way.
It's trying to hold on.
But I'm willing.
But I'm willing.
With your grace and favor.
With your grace and favor.
To go forward.
To go forward.
And when they criticize me.
And when they criticize me.
I'll remind them.
I'll remind
the
them.
The one that has sent me.
The one that has sent me.
And the one that has released me to do the work of our Father.
To do the work of our Father.
Is what they need to focus on.
Is what they need to focus on.
Not the religious realm.
Not the religious realm.
Because truly, Lord Jesus.
Because truly, Lord Jesus.
You are the Messiah.
You are the Messiah.
You are the firstborn.
You are the firstborn.
Of many brothers.
Of many brothers.
And sisters.
And sisters.
That's me.
That's me.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
To keep my heart. Keep it close to you, Lord.
Keep it close to you, Lord.
So that I will complete my journey.
So that I will complete my journey.
On time.
On time.
For your glory.
For your glory.
And I thank you for the healing.
And I thank you for the healing.
That's happening in me right now.
That's happening in me right now.
Because I'm laying hands.
Because I'm laying hands.
On the sick heart.
On this heart.
It's got pieces missing. But you can put those pieces right back.
Mm.
Just like you did for Jesus. He didn't come out with a broken heart. He came out of that grave. And he was perfect.